This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Monday, it feels every bit of it. I think when you have like Christmas and then New Year's and then last Monday was Martin Luther King Day, you know, you get used to these 4-day weeks.
And here's a big five.
I was feeling like Johnny Carson, you know. Now it's like, nope, now we got the whole week. And it's a busy day today. There's a lot of stuff going on. A little later today, and I say this only as a preview because you'll be able to share it on Nauticator.com. We've got a thing. We're going to take a tour of the new ag facility out at the McCletsey campus with some folks here in town. ADM's hosting. And so you're going to get maybe a little first look at it a little later today.
I've been around those buildings, been in one of them. My goodness, the stuff that's built on that part of town.
Every time you're there, it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
You can't even believe it. I mean, we're going to be hosting some local community folks, including the mayor, this Thursday for a tour of a lot of it. Because, you know, if every time I go out there and it feels more frequent than like most people just because of situational stuff, you're like, when did that get here? You know, they're building a school.
Oh, wow.
Which is the coolest thing.
They're building a house with a basement.
Well, you think about the situations that police officers are put into.
And do you think about that so much more now because of your son? I mean, clearly like that. I mean, before you think about it, just sort of like situationally. But now that there's like family.
Especially, Brian, because we've had so many incidents nationwide that we didn't used to have. And so, you know, that anything can happen anywhere.
I know you think about that as mayor, but I'm saying now as mayor, but also with a son, you know, who just moved to the Decatur Police Department. I mean, that has to be like a double whammy of just thinking about things.
I don't really think of it in that context.
Really?
It's just, I don't think I do.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I'm aware, but he's been in law enforcement for a decade. So it's not like he's a brand new getting used to this.
But still, though, I would imagine that's just a different, whole different perspective.
Okay, one more thing to stay up late tonight.
No, I'm just... All right.
I'll think of you.
Forgive me for thinking of you as a human being and not just an office. Yeah. All right, you had a big council meeting with a lot that was covered. And I want to go back to that because we were off last Monday. For MLK Day, and you weren't here. The new council member appointment, this was, I think, a good choice, not a surprising choice.
It's a great choice.
Well, I mean, if you kind of go through the list of former council members that are still here, it's a pretty short list. But Dr. Dana Ray will fill the vacancy left by Bill Faber for the next couple of months.
And she jumped right in, you know, and she had done her homework. I did feel bad because it was a really long meeting and she brought her little boy with her. And so Davis got to see hours of council.
Yeah.
So it's a civics lesson for, I'm not sure what grade he's in, but like third maybe.
We need more of that in school because they're not doing that as much. I just read a really long article about the fact that depending on what state you live in and the requirements, and there's it's crazy all over the place. We're not teaching sort of civics anymore. And that is like leading or at least leaning itself into like this social media perfect storm of everybody, you know, that we don't really learn about our democracy and why it works and why it's important.
Boy, we need to.
That was the whole article. Was like, this is the best thing we could do as a country is to go back and do this K-12.
Well, I think that's, you know, because so many things were pulled out of the schools, you know, they took the trades out, you know, for a long time. And thank God we're getting back to more hands-on learning for these kids.
All right. New video gambling. There's a moratorium. What is the thought process behind that?
Well, really, we wanted to take...
We don't want everyone to be broke? Is that what...
Well, realistically, trying to get around, figure out the loopholes that people are using to try and get around, you know, calling themselves a restaurant when they're really not a restaurant.
Okay, what are the rules?
Oh, Brian, it's really, really complicated and that's one of the things we're looking at because we have an enormous number of licenses. There's an A license, a B license, all the way through like letter L.
And was that purposely put in place by the city? Was that replicated from somewhere else?
A lot of this was pre-me, and I'm not an expert on it because Pat McDaniel serves as the liquor commissioner. He has been since Jerry left the council, Jerry Dawson.
Okay.
So it's really more his bandwidth than mine. But There are certain classes of to have video gaming, you have to have a liquor license of some sort. And the council over many, many decades, instead of just having a very simplified A, B, or C license, put video gaming aside for a minute, they chose to regulate individually as situations came up. For example, a special license was created to allow when the Avon Theater built the twin theaters, mm-hmm. the original business plan was to serve alcohol in there and have like, you know, you could have drinks while you watch the movie or some different scenarios. They got that license. I don't know that they ever served.
Okay.
I just am not familiar enough with it. When we had the wine shop downtown,
yeah,
a different, that was an L license. We had to make some adjustments when Murphy & Co. wanted to start selling some high-end bourbons and wine. So okay. it's been on a situational basis. So we're taking a really good look at all of the liquor categories, but it really got pushed by video gaming because, quite honestly, in the last 3 or 4 years, I have had people trying to lobby me, companies, and one is a former state senator who was representing an either a gaming company or something, but basically that convenience stores are really restaurants because they sell hot dogs.
Who? What state senator?
It would have been Senator Bill Brady.
Okay.
And so, you know, it really wasn't appropriate.
Okay.
He was still in office at the time.
All right. Why does gambling have to be attached to liquor?
I think that's part of the state law.
Okay.
I believe it is. I don't know.
So we say one vice isn't enough. We got to put two vices together. And can I mean, that's what I've always wondered about this is why one is attached to the other.
I don't have a good answer for you, but that was one of the things that council never saw coming is that you had these places that popped up kind of like I call them storefront casinos, but some of them were just nice places. And the market was basically middle-aged women and up, the ones that used to go to the boat.
The way they're named, yeah.
Exactly. And so those, they weren't comfortable going to a bar,
yeah,
but still wanted to play slots.
Okay.
And so those became very, very popular. But really, even though they've got to have a liquor license, they're not really selling. They might sell, you know, a little bit of wine here and there, but not like it's a...
Now, I remember touring one of those mm-hmm. from an out-of-town company mm-hmm. and it was more soda machine and you know Dolly over there with her $25.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so but it's an effort because there are a lot of really creative business practices happening right now and we're trying to just get a handle.
How many licenses are there out there ballpark? Man.
We are one of the leaders in the state for having machines. I think we're third or fourth in the state as far as
per capita or just total machines.
Total Jeez. Machines. We are right up there.
That's insane.
It's crazy. I don't know where all this money's coming from. I know where it's going to, but it's nuts. The city gets a very, very small part of the taxes that are collected.
How much are you getting per year off of gambling?
I haven't looked at the number lately, but I know it's over $1.5 million. And we get 5% of the taxes that are collected. The big money goes to the people who own the machines.
So we can extrapolate that number that if you're getting $1.5 million as 5% mm-hmm. of the money that's made, the other 95% of that is coming out of people's pockets and going to yes. various. All right. That's insane.
So that's the reason for the 6-month moratorium, to give us a break to.
Any thought about just banning it altogether?
Well, you can't ban what's already in place. Or
why?
Because people will sue us because they invested in a legal entity. We said we are going to allow this. People invested and companies invested. And
laws change all the time.
They do, but Brian, it would be setting us up for multiple lawsuits.
Okay. So then how do you do anything about it?
Well, that's what we're taking a really strong look at. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to be as complicated. We've had a couple of meetings with the liquor commissioner and legal staff and city administration saying, okay, what can we do here? And if you do this, we'll probably get sued. How can we, you know, start? We've capped some of the licenses, but, you know, you can't get another parlor license just to be a video game parlor with nuts and drinks.
Okay.
So we did that maybe a year and a half ago. So the effort now is, okay, how do we stop this?
All right. So tell me about like the wash and win concept.
And that is a really one of the things that we're really looking at. We cannot do anything about that one. When the city project, the Brush College Road project, was moving forward, we had to acquire land. We had to acquire some businesses. There was a bar, the new back door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was right in the path of where we need to go. We had to acquire that land. Well, they had video gaming. They had a bar license. And so we had to give them a license. That was part of the deal. They wanted many licenses in exchange for this business. Somehow, the owner of that business is tied in with the folks that own, is it Save-A-Lot now? It was County Market. Okay. It's over on Oakland.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And so they decided they would use that license to put in a laundromat with a bar so that they could have gaming. People are getting very creative. We can't stop that license. It's a deal that the city made as part of Brush College. Nobody likes it. We all held our noses, but it's fair. If that was your business and, you know, the big bad city is coming in to, for the greater good, doing, you know, eminent domain, and we've got to move forward with this road project because it's important to our, you know, industrial area. It's important to jobs. It's important to Richland. We've got to move forward with this. You know, you deserve to be fairly compensated.
Okay. So basically, between all of these establishments that are offering this, and I'm sure it was intended to help local businesses,
the VFW,
and owners,
you know,
and
the
people.
Yeah.
But between wagon. That and, you know, spending my weekend watching the NFL being hammered with gambling,
oh,
you know, every 30 seconds, what's the impact on society? And I know you're not there. I mean, you're there as a council to facilitate growth and business, but you got to be concerned about the end result of all of this.
Well, you do. And, you know, we don't even know. Because you can now do this, I mean, you can bet on sports teams, which is just amazing to me because...
Not only you can, but they're cramming it down your throat.
Well, yeah. I remember being in Vegas maybe, it's probably been 15 years ago, and my husband had his cell phone out and was talking to his brother in New Jersey or mm-hmm. something, and he got in trouble and got kicked out of the sports book because it was illegal for him to be, you know, doing something shady on his phone. Of course, it was New Jersey.
Yeah, what was it? So. What shady thing stuff do? Just out of curiosity. I've been to Vegas
know.
A lot of
I
times. I've never been thrown out of the sports book.
He may have just gotten his hand slapped. But, I mean, it was a very real,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well,
and now it's so reversed.
Yes, life has literally changed dramatically over the last couple of years in this area.
Even these celebrities that are on, like, touting online bingo.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's like... Do you really need the money this bad?
All right. Well, how long is this moratorium?
It'll be 6 months.
Is that long enough to figure out?
If not, we'll come back to council and ask for more time.
Okay. Who do you want to hear from? What's the in 6 months, what are you going to do?
Well, in 6 months, we'll be.
No, I mean, those 6 months.
Over those 6 months, we will have our small group meetings and then we will come to council with a plan to say this is the direction we feel like we are safe going as far as not being sued, as far as being fair to the owners of these establishments,
yeah.
But also being good stewards in the community to try and get a handle on this.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk food trucks and then Woodrow Wilson as well with the mayor of Decatur. Here's Nick with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast. Back with more after this.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 38. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 29. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, high near 40, 1 to 3 inches of overnight snow. And for Wednesday, 2 to 4 more inches of snow, high near 34. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 26 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:21. This look at your weather is brought to you by Eagle Ridge.
Looking to fall in love with your new home? Eagle Ridge, your affordable assisted lifestyle community, is newly renovated and ready for you. You can count on them to provide home-cooked meals, small group activities, and visitations with family and friends. They are currently accepting move-ins, and there is no better time than to call them right now. Stop by 875 West McKinley or call 217-872-1282. That's 872-1282. They are an equal housing opportunity lender.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment. Offering sound advice and actionable insight, Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. UC Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas has enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
At Millikan University, we know academics are undoubtedly central to the experience. But college is so much more than that. A Millikan education means you pave the way of your own future and continue to follow your passions after high school graduation. With over 75 organizations and clubs, active Greek life, nationally renowned performing arts, and championship athletics, you're sure to find your fit on Millikan's thriving campus. Your future starts at Millikan. Submit the free application for admission at millikan.edu/apply.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We are back here on a Monday. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf is in the studios with us. We did not get a chance to visit last week because of the Martin Luther King holiday, but you guys had a pretty extensive meeting. The food truck ordinance thing, I'm glad you guys came back here and did the right thing. This is sort of, I think, when people complain about government sort of getting too government. That was certainly the case.
It was. And to be honest with you, I was not focused on the fact that the fee had gone from a registration fee of $40 a year to $500. I was more focused on making sure that we were trying to be fair in the downtown to the bricks and mortar shops, as well as making sure that the city was collecting its fair share of food and beverage taxes. Because, you know, we have a lot of food trucks that come in from out of town. And if they come in from out of town, quite often they pay their food and beverage taxes to their own governments instead of ours, which puts ours at a bigger disadvantage.
I think all that's fair, but a $500 fee, that's 10 times what you guys reduced it to.
We went back to, there was a lot of discussion, and there may be some other things that we revisit in the future. But, you know, it's we have not seen food trucks in downtown. I think part of that's the requirement that we put in, you know, like you had to have a bathroom.
That makes no sense to me at all.
I know it. There were a lot of recommendations from staff that just aren't very realistic. Okay. So,
I mean, and why do you think that is? I mean, is it just sort of like, we don't want it to work. We're not for this. We're going to throw barricades.
No, I don't think it's that as
much
as.
Who would provide bathroom facilities?
I know. Well, I think the idea was we want to make, if you have a festival in downtown and you have food trucks or wherever you have them, you have an organization that is, whether it's, let's say it's the Arts Council.
Yeah.
Okay. They're responsible. And if the food trucks leave and leave a bunch of trash or there's it's like, okay, I think the recommendations from staff were well-meaning, thinking, well, let's make this as nice as it possibly can be. And it was a little
which
overboard.
Often becomes unrealistic. Yeah,
absolutely.
So I go to a food truck, I'm an MLK.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect to use a bathroom?
No.
There? It's your responsibility.
A food truck.
It's your responsibility to go home, go someplace else.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did the right thing. Do you feel like that you've heard from some of these local
owners?
We did.
And we had a number of in the two or three meetings prior to taking action last week, food trucks owners came and they're facing a lot of issues too, because higher wages for workers and they're facing much higher food prices. And so they're struggling to get off the ground. And so, you know, we're taking some action and we probably have to revise it further.
I feel like at the end of the day, the people that just want to enjoy this are the people that just want to consume the food from the food trucks, that sort of gets left out of the equation.
Well, and hopefully we can put it back in the equation to have, you know, make everybody happy.
You know, I remember, you know, the late, great Dave Cooper.
When, loved him.
Yes. He was literally Jay Peterman from Seinfeld. but when Starbucks was coming to town, Elaine, and I asked him, like, you know, what does this mean? And he said, you know, Brian, you can't have too much coffee. You
know, and I've had too much coffee before.
But he said the more coffee, the more conversation, mm-hmm. the more talk about coffee is good for everybody in the coffee business.
And
I feel that way about local restaurants and food trucks, that it's not one or the other.
Because if you only have one restaurant downtown, okay, your chances of doing well are not as good as if you have many. Because people may, you know, you and I might, you know, with our respective spouses go out on a Friday night and say, where are we going to go for dinner? I don't know. Let's go downtown. And then we go downtown. We see who's maybe too busy or where we can get in or, let's go to Coney McCain's.
Or you just love this food truck and it brings you to downtown and you discover other things. I just I don't think you can just separate it out. I think it's all an experience that the consumers want.
Absolutely. And so we're going to hopefully have a really great spring and summer with these guys, and everybody is successful.
And you can spread your money around.
There you go.
All right. This intergovernmental agreement with the Decatur Public Schools to share the cost of demolishing Woodrow Wilson has some people have questioned this. What's the deal? Why did the city get behind this?
Well, I really appreciate the fact that the school board has been more responsible than boards many years ago who would, you know, sell a giant building to somebody to make condos out of it. And it's an out-of-state person who, well, Woodrow actually had money put into it, as Paul was talking about on your show a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, so many of these school buildings then become just neighborhood problems. Roach School, you know, was a neighborhood issue for many, many years. It was sold to somebody out of town. They didn't take the responsibility for taking it down. It never became what they thought it was going to be, apartments or something. And it was a problem. The city ended up having to cover the cost of all of it. And so now we're working really closely with the school board so that doesn't happen in the future. But there are other schools, Brian, around town that are sitting in neighborhoods crumbling, and they attract, you know, I'll call it wildlife, but you've got vagrants, you've got everything else, kids in these buildings. And Woodrow, I mean, you can go online on YouTube and find where kids were or young adults breaking into Woodrow and going on ghost hunts.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just not safe.
So you felt it was worth the cost involved?
Absolutely. And we appreciate the fact that if this will be a partnership, it'll be good for both. And if the school district finds a use for that property, fantastic. They've already said it is not appropriate for a school, at least not in its state.
We're out of time. We appreciate it. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.